you so much. I'm going to grab this microphone right here. On the way over to church, I saw it was raining. I know that's, you probably did too. It's a little wet there. And I remembered I had tricks in the back of our truck from yesterday. I had about $4,000 or $5,000 worth of tricks getting moist, very moist in the back of our truck. So we backed it into the garage here. So that's why, you can come on up, babe. That's why I don't have the mic on yet. So we came here close to last minute, but I'm glad it all worked out. You can bring it all the way up here, sweetheart. Awesome, awesome, awesome. If you got your Bibles, you can open it up to open them up to Matthew chapter 28. Chapter 28, last verse in your Bible. Good deal. Okay, I was hoping I set the mic up right. Awesome. Are we good to go? Good deal. Okay, I'm going to do, if it's okay, just a quick trick. I guess it's afternoon, evening-ish, but a quick trick here, if that's all right. I talked about the staple gun roulette. How many of you just came for the staple gun roulette? Don't raise your hand. That'd be really bad. Okay. But this is what we're going to do. I have staples in this staple gun right here. And let's do this real quick. Do need somebody to help me out, if that's okay. It doesn't hurt that bad, I promise. My preference would be, is it easy to come down? I do kind of need, if it's okay, a lady, if that's possible, to help out. They're normally better at just following instructions carefully. No, this is an important trick. So do you mind helping out? Awesome, awesome, awesome. What's your name?
Tawan.
Can you guys give Tawan a hand as she comes up? Okay, Tawan. Got four staple guns. You can come all the way up on stage. Got four staple guns here. And this one right here, I got some staples. I'll put them right here, as you can see, inside of the staple gun. Close it just like that. And then Tawan, am I saying your name?
Tawana.
Tawana, okay. Tawana, I'll come over here so hopefully most people can see. And I just want you to verify that this staple gun is, in fact, shooting staples. Is it shooting them in the paper? Paper's on there.
Yes,
real good. Okay, you guys can see. Just ripped it. All right, perfect. This is what we're going to do. Okay, four staple guns. I'm going to take all four right here. And I'll just mix them up just like this. Tawana. Good deal, okay. And I'll put them back like so. Okay, do you know which one has the staples, Miss Tawana?
I do not.
Okay, perfect. And this is what we're going to do. I'm not going to look. I'll leave this here. I'm not going to look. I'll give you like 10 seconds. You just mix them up however you see fit. Mm-hmm. Mix them up. Okay, I'm not going to look. Okay, just right here. I'm not going to look. Just go ahead. Like 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Okay, perfect. Good deal. Awesome, awesome, awesome. So I don't know which one has the staples. You don't know which one has the staples. Awesome. Have we met before today? Did we meet this morning?
I saw you.
Okay, a little wave. Okay. So let's do this. Pick a number between 1 and 5.
3. 3,
okay, perfect. So let's do this. We'll start, you came out of this side. Is that right? Right here? Okay, we'll start on this section. We'll just do 3 rows back, 1, 2, 3, and then we'll go 1, 2, then back to you, 3. Okay, you can stay right there. What's your name?
Barbara.
All right, Miss Barbara. You get the privilege of picking a staple gun, okay? This is basically what's going to happen. We'll use your number 3, and we'll just keep picking random people. They'll pick a staple gun, and then Miss Tawana, right? Okay, you'll just grab whichever one they pick. And you ever shot a staple gun before?
Yeah.
Okay. What you'll do is you'll take the staple gun, and you'll basically put it up against me, and you'll just squeeze. I do this all the time. It should be all right, okay? It should be all right. It'll be fun nonetheless, okay? We'll have fun. Okay, so we'll call this staple gun 1, 2, 3, and then 4, okay? Which would you like, Miss Barbara?
4.
All the way down here? 4, okay. He's very confident. Do you think this one has the staples? Do you think it has the staples? You do? And that's why you picked it, because it's not real kind. Okay.
I know, right?
So to shoot this one, all you do, you just squeeze the handle.
Do we have like 911 on standby?
No, but we should be fine. We should. It's just my hand.
Any nurses in the house?
It's whenever you're, I always got to get ready, you know, mentally here. So just go ahead whenever.
Bad aware?
Yep, just go ahead.
Okay, we're good. We're good. Okay, that was exciting. I'll put that right there. Okay, three more, and you said three. So we'll go back. One, two, three. And then in that row, right there, one, two, three. Okay, the lady in the dress right there. Yep, just raise your hand. Okay, we'll call this one one, two, and then three. So which would you like? Two. So this one right here, this one. Okay, do you trust me? You do? Okay, come on over here.
Oh, no.
See, you don't trust me.
Much.
Not that much. Oh, well, are you sure? Come on. You only have to look. I wouldn't do that to you. That'd be terrible.
I got a lovely wife, and she's like,
she knows.
She shook her head no.
I know. Okay. So, here, I won't. That'd be terrible. I won't shoot you, but just.
Oh, you want me to do you?
Yeah, just go ahead whenever. She doesn't like this trip.
She doesn't want to look at it either.
Okay, we're good. We're good. Nothing going on. We're good. Okay. One, two, and then my wife. We can't use my wife. That would be bad. Okay. So we'll just add another, okay? Three. And then you're the only person in the row, sir. What's your name? Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Henry.
All right. All right, Mr. Henry. One of these two staple guns right here does have staples, okay, just so you know. So you have the chance of making church really short tonight and really awkward or not. So we'll call this staple gun one, the staple gun two, right here. You were very confident, Brother Henry. You sure? So it does have staples, is that why? We'll find out. Okay. All right. Now, you're going to be nervous about this, but don't be. Okay. It's all going to be all right. I'm just going to flip my collar up because there is a little piece of metal that comes out every time. It hurts a little bit. So just go right here.
So it'll catch on the shirt. The shirt will kind of...
Yeah.
I'm going to come down a little bit. I'm going to go through the ties.
No, you got to... Come on. You got to do it. You can do it. Just do it.
Go. We'll be on the news.
No, you're not even touching. Yeah, you got it here. It's okay. It's all right. It's all right. Here, go ahead.
We're going to be on the news here.
Okay. So that must mean that this staple gun, okay, right here, let's go back over on this side. You can confirm. This staple gun does, in fact, have the staples just... like that. Give her a hand. That was exciting. Oh, man, you did a great job. I don't suggest trying that trick at home. Okay, that would probably not be the smartest thing. Okay, doing it at church is probably not the smartest thing either. Okay, but it's a lot of fun. We do those just to get people who wouldn't come to church to come to church, so we give them the gospel. So it's an exciting thing, and it's a little bit of fun lots of times. It's okay to have fun in church every once in a while, but anyway, hope you enjoyed that trick. After the service, I'm going to run over to where the kiddos are, and we're going to just do a few tricks and do a little lesson over there, so I might finish quick. We'll see, okay? I'm not sure, but Matthew 28, what we're talking about this evening is super duper important. I mean, everything in the Bible is important. This right here, probably, sweetheart, could you bring my phone up? That'd be great. I'll need one thing from that. What we're going to talk about this evening is just ultra, ultra important, I think. I heard Pastor say, and I believe Brother Young, he was mentioning during lunch today that you guys are going through the exchange, learning different things. That program is a great program. Let me just tell you real quick, by way of testimony, I had a sweet mate in college who wasn't saved. We'd given him the gospel many times. He was at a Christian college, so he heard the gospel a whole bunch, and he had not gotten saved for whatever reason. And someone had given me, I don't know, a couple years before that time, the same stuff you're going over. God is holy, God is just, God is loving, God is gracious. And so I was like, you know what, let's try it, see what happens. So we started going through that, and he really ate it up. Like, he went through it. And, I was told many times they will get saved, you know, at, like, God is loving. And so we hit that part. He didn't get saved, and I was kind of like, a little bit bummed. But we were just praying that he would. And he was out getting coffee, I believe, and a fella came up to him from the college and started talking to him, and he ended up talking about the Bible study he was in, and the fella led him to the Lord. And just taking our sweet time, going through those different things, the Holy Spirit was allowed to work. And, you know, people can get saved when you give them the gospel, you know, quickly, but some people, they really need to think about it some more. And so God used that, and God is using that. I've heard many, many testimonies. I've got friends from college. Their church went through it like what you guys are doing, and it has really changed their church. Okay, it really, really has. Question for you. I think you know this, okay, but my wife and I, we do evangelistic outreaches often. We do vacation Bible schools, but let's just say, okay, for sake of illustration, that the church here did a vacation Bible school, and there was 20 kids that got saved. That'd be amazing. Okay, here's the question. Okay, here's the question. Don't answer it loud. Just kind of think about it. When those 20 kids got saved, did we completely fulfill the Great Commission? No. That's correct. Not yet. Not yet. I mean, we started it, right? We started, but we haven't yet completely fulfilled it. We'll talk about what the full Great Commission is in just a second, but I don't know if you grew up kind of a similar way to where I grew up, but often we had, and I'm all for it, okay, we had a bus ministry at our church, and like it was very fruitful. There's folks that got saved. There's one guy, his name was Jordan, and he had come to our church for like a year, maybe even 2 years, riding the bus, and he was one of the really good kids that rode the bus. And I remember one day, he'd been saved for well over a year. I remember one day he looked at me and he said, "Chase, someone told me this and I'm just not really sure." He said, "Chase, is looking at pornography a sin?" I was like, "How do you not know that?" I mean, in my mind, I was like, well, that's like a duh thing. But apparently Jordan didn't know that. See, what had happened with Jordan is he had made a profession of faith. He'd gotten saved, but he had kind of just got checked off the box somewhat. There wasn't any real purposeful, intentional discipleship in Jordan's life. And so he was ignorant of a whole lot of Bible truth. And often, I don't know. I don't know people's hearts. You know, the only people who know really if somebody is saved is them and God, right? And so I don't know folks' hearts, but I think sometimes people at a church event will get saved, and then they kind of disappear. And it could it be because they didn't get saved? Well, sure, that could be the case. But I wonder if sometimes the reason why they make a profession of faith or they get saved and disappear is not so much that they didn't get saved, but that they didn't get discipled. You know, many times we put tons of effort into a vacation Bible school or into an evangelistic outreach, and right when we're done, we just kind of take a week off. Whew. I mean, because it is a lot of work, you know what I mean? But you think about it, when someone gets saved, they become a baby Christian. And when you have a child or when somebody has a child, you don't just be like, okay, that was tough. So I'm just going to take a break. No, that'd be terrible. Okay, that's really when some of the, I mean, there's already been hard work leading up to that, okay? But that's really when a lot of the hard work begins. When the child's born, what are you doing? Well, you're training them. You're training them. And oftentimes, somebody will get saved and we'll be like, well, let's just kind of leave them be. You know, we really pushed hard to get them to come to church. We really pushed hard to get them to get saved. Let's just leave them be and let's just see kind of what happens, see if this was real. You know, we don't want to push them too hard. You know, they already got saved. We don't want to push them too hard. Let's just see if this is a real profession of faith. And we just kind of let them be. And is the Holy Spirit powerful? Yes. Okay. But the Holy Spirit has also told us that we should disciple folks, okay, and told us that we should teach folks. And we'll look at that in a second, okay? The Holy Spirit has chosen to use people like us to help other people learn the gospel, okay? Not us like preachers, but us as Christians, right, to help folks learn more about God and whatsoever things God has commanded us. We'll look at it in just a second. Okay, but let me just challenge you with this thought. Okay, and maybe I should rephrase that. Let me ask this question. You just think about it, chew on it as we get in the message. Okay, many times we have seen folks get saved, right? But I wonder in our life, has there ever been a person, an individual that we have seen saved and then seen become a true disciple of Jesus Christ? And not just, you know, we kind of watched them grow up in school so much, but where we had really a part, or a real part, genuine part in them becoming a disciple of Jesus Christ. And if you haven't been somebody that has, I don't know, maybe this is a bad way to say it, you know, Jesus is the one who allows us to do this, so he gets all the glory. But are you not only a soul winner, but are you a disciple maker? Does that make sense? Are you a disciple maker? That's the question I really want you to think. Is there any evidence in your life, besides going to church, okay, besides, you know, going on visitation or whatever, you know, different hour, whatever, okay, do you have evidence in your life of you being a disciple maker? Let's pray real quick, and let's get into this. God, thank you so much for your goodness and your love to us. I pray, Father, that this message would really be helpful to the church here. And Lord, I ask you that it makes sense and that your word would just be abundantly clear. Lord, I ask you that that you would just help us as we look at your word to not just understand it, not just believe it, but to apply it to our life, Father. Thank you, God, that it's your will for us to see people not only saved, but also discipled. And thank you, God, that we can have 100% confidence that you will help us in this, because it's your will. And in Jesus' name I pray, amen. Well, you got your Bible. We'll start in Matthew 28, verse number 16. This is basically what has happened. Jesus died on the cross, rose again. He was seen of a bunch of people, and he was about to ascend up into heaven. And if you look at the beginning of Acts, there may have been more people here than just the 11 disciples. But nevertheless, they were definitely here. Look at verse number 16. The Bible says this: "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped, but some doubted." Verse 18, "Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All," what's the word? "Power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." That's a very important phrase. We'll look at it in just a second. "But all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Verse 19. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." Verse 20, "teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Amen. Can we do this just real quick? Real quick, can I have... what's your name? Heather, is it easy for you to stand up? You can stay right there. But do you mind standing up, Miss Heather? And then Brother Young, do you mind standing up? That'd be great. And then can we have, let's have one more person. Sweetheart, do you mind standing up? This is what they say, according to statistics. There's a group called Barna. Anybody ever heard of Barna? They do a bunch of Christian statistics. You can look them up. But they sent out a list of beliefs, okay? So instead of sending out a thing where people said, "I'm a Christian, I'm a Buddhist, I'm a Mormon," or whatever, they sent out a list of beliefs, and then based on what those people believe, they put them in a certain category, okay? And back in 2016, they did this, and this is what they found out. They found out that only 6% of people in America believe the only way to go to heaven is by grace through faith, not of works. Only 6%. If this room represented America, the only people that would be saved would be these three people standing. Wow. And then they say, out of that 3%, you guys can have a seat, out of that 3%, only 19% are purposeful in sharing their faith in discipleship. And we wonder how in the world we've gotten to the place we are in America. How do we do that? Well, I think it might be because we haven't been focusing on biblically or completely, fully, however you want to say it, fulfilling the Great Commission. So what is the Great Commission? We're going to look at it in just a second. But before we get there, we look at that. Wow, 6%. That means probably 9 out of 10 people we see at Walmart are on their way to hell. That means 9 out of 10 people we see are probably not saved. That's a big thing. You know, that can be discouraging. That can be like, what are we going to do? There's so many lost people. How are we going to reach them? There's a key word in here. We all said it together earlier, but it is some serious motivation when we come to this thing called the Great Commission. Look at verse 18. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Look at the end of verse 20. He says, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. I want you to understand this. When it comes to seeing folks saved and trying to make disciples, I want you to understand something. We, okay, not just preachers, not just, you know, teachers, not just folks that are really trying to be a missionary, but every single person that is a Christian has access to God's power. You know, I looked at this word for power. Did like a Greek nerd study on it. And this word power is used lots of times in the New Testament. But one time it was used was when Jesus described the power he had, not just to lay down his life, but the power to come back to life. Resurrection power. It's in John 10:18. This is what Jesus said. He said, no man taketh it, my life, from me, but I lay it down of myself. He said this, I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. This commandment I received of my Father. That's pretty powerful, isn't it? I mean, to lay his life down, to pay for the sin of the whole world, and then literally still have the power to defeat death and come back to life. That's pretty powerful. Another time the word power is used is when he's talking about spiritual power, okay? You guys probably remember the story when Jesus had the 70 men together and he sent them out to the different cities to tell them about the gospel of the kingdom. It's in Luke 10. This is what the Bible says. This is after they went out, they came back. The Bible says, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he, Jesus, said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions. Check this out. And over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Wow. I mean, that power, same power that Jesus has, okay? And by the way, he's always with us when we strive to fulfill the Great Commission fully. He's always, that same power over all the power of the enemy is literally on our side. And we can have confidence when it comes to this thing, you know, trying to see 94% of America say, trying to see many, many millions upon millions and millions of people say, and not just say, but discipled. When it comes to this, we can have confidence that we'll have God's power. So what that does is it takes out, man, I've got a speech impediment, or I'm not good at this thing, or I'm just super nervous, super shy, or I feel like everything is awkward. You know, that doesn't matter. Because the success in fulfilling the Great Commission is based on God's power, not on us. And if we're too shy, or we're like, I just don't know if I can, that doesn't matter, because the success, the power isn't from you. It's not from a personality. It's not from technique. It's not from, it is from the power of God. And isn't it exciting that he says, okay, I have all power. And then he says, and listen, listen, listen. After he talks about what the Great Commission, he says, and listen, and lo, and hey, this is important. I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Isn't that exciting? I mean, he's literally with, and we can have confidence. Doesn't matter who we are, doesn't matter our past, doesn't matter our present circumstances. If we'll be right with God, we'll strive to fulfill the Great Commission completely. We can have 100% confidence we'll have God's power. I mean, isn't that encouraging? Doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter your background, doesn't matter your personality, doesn't matter your upbringing. If we will get right with God and we'll ask him for it, we'll have his power. Isn't that encouraging? You don't have to question, will I have God's power when it comes to striving to fulfill the Great Commission fully. You don't have the questions. You can have confidence. Because God said right here, Matthew 28, 18 and 20, that he's got all power and he's always with us. I mean, that is exciting. Praise the Lord for that. So when it comes to this thing, when it comes to this, that's sometimes like a little bit like a whoa, okay, this is somewhat difficult. This is like a scary thing. That sure. But God has all power, and he's with us. And so we can have confidence in that, okay? So what is the Great Commission, okay? Look at verse 19. The Bible says, go ye therefore, okay? Because I have all power, go ye therefore and teach all nations, okay? That word teach there is a pretty interesting word, okay? The word, if you just look it up in a normal dictionary, it means to communicate to another the knowledge of that of which he was before ignorant. Anybody know some ignorant people? Anybody? How many of you there sitting beside you? Don't raise your hand. That's terrible. Okay. But teaching means to tell somebody something they're ignorant. You know, in today's day, there's more ignorance of biblical Christianity than ever before. I mean, there really is. You know, me and my wife, we get, I guess because we do magic tricks, but there's a lot of people that don't normally come to church that come to things we do. And we've noticed that the kids don't know what obvious Christian things are, but not only the kids, their parents don't. And their parents are adults, and they don't know what sin is. They don't know really who Jesus is. They don't know many obvious Christian things. And does that mean, okay, that maybe one of those folks gets saved, but they don't know a Christian term? Does that mean, you know, they didn't get saved? Maybe, but it may just be that they need to be discipled and they're ignorant of different things. And so what do? Well, we disciple people. We teach people those things. But that's what it means if you look it up just in a normal dictionary. But this specific word in the Greek, this specific teach, is a little bit different than the word teaching in verse 20. It literally means, if you were to look it up in a Greek dictionary, it means to teach in a way where you make someone a disciple. That's more than just, you know, lackadaisical teaching, right? I mean, that's serious, purposeful, intentional teaching. Does that make sense? It's more than just sharing the gospel with somebody and seeing them saved, checking them off the box. You know, that is part of it, okay? That is, we got to see folks saved if they're going to become a disciple. But teaching them in this word right here is more than only seeing folks saved, but it's seeing folks saved with the intent, with the purpose of them becoming a disciple. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? So first, okay, if we're going to fulfill the Great Commission, we've got to understand that we've got access to God's power. And then we need to understand that the goal is not only to see folks saved. It's not, that is part of it, okay? But it's not only to see folks saved, but it's to see them become a disciple of Jesus Christ, okay? Are we making sense? And let me just say this real quick. Let's keep going. Look at the verse. It says, go ye therefore, verse 19, go ye therefore and teach, what's the next two words? All nations. You know what that means? That means anybody can get saved. I mean, isn't that encouraging? Anybody can say, I remember I was at a Waffle House. Do they have Waffle Houses here? Yes, they do. I heard like this weird groan. It's like, I guess you don't like Waffle House. Okay, but I was with a friend, Calvin Allen. He's an evangelist, and we were at Waffle House. It's like the only thing open, you know, late at night. And so we were there, and there was this unique SUV that pulled up, a little sketchy, and all these folks got out. And for one reason or another, I really felt like I needed to give these folks the gospel. And so they were eating dinner. I hopped up and went over to talk to them. And it was somewhat funny, but not really. It's a little bit sad. But there was a fella, I won't use their actual names just in case, you know, they watch the live stream or whatever. But there was a fella, we'll call him Phil, okay, and he had a couple dollars, daughters. We'll call them Vicky and Keisha, okay, Vicky, Keisha. And there was a couple others, but the daughters, they were really interested in what I had to say. The dad, Phil, had clearly done some heavy drugs beforehand, and we were talking, and Victoria, she told me I don't understand why people do drugs. It messes them up, makes them look ugly. They're never going to get married. They're never going to. And her dad was right there. Phil, listen to the whole thing. It was, after she said that, he goes, "What are you talking about? I've never looked weird. I never." It was a unique situation. Okay, but anyway, I started to share the gospel. I don't know that Phil definitely got saved, but I don't know that he was there. But the other people, they listened to the gospel and they made a profession of faith. And I still have one of their numbers, and we'll connect every once in a while. But I mean, you think about it, their home life is not like many of our home lives, but they still got saved. You know, I've got a friend, his name is Alex. Alex grew up, trying to be careful how I say things because I don't want his family to not trust Christ because of things I say, but he was abused, he was exposed to a lot of wrong things. And Alex, when he was about 14, his older sister committed suicide. And he had a real tough time. He did drugs. He sold drugs. And when he was about 16 years old, you know, he told me he was really considering suicide. He's on TikTok, scrolling through TikTok, thinking about committing suicide. And a gospel video popped up on TikTok. And he was really convicted. It was on a Monday. He was really convicted and went to a church on the following Sunday. Ended up getting saved, and that was about 2 years ago. And after he got saved, he came to the Bible college I was at and started studying to be in ministry. And his semester he was there, he led 20 people to the Lord, 20 of his old friends who weren't saved. Isn't that exciting? You know what that means? Anybody can get saved. I mean, the Bible says all nations. It says teach all nations. He wouldn't have said to teach everybody with the goal of them becoming a disciple if anybody could not get saved. Does that make sense? We're commanded to do that. Doesn't matter who it is. Doesn't matter who it is. Doesn't matter their stage in life. We're commanded to share the gospel with all nations with the goal of them becoming a disciple. Let's keep going here. We need to teach all nations with the goal of them getting saved, becoming a disciple of Jesus Christ. Keep looking at the verse 19. It says this, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. So if somebody got saved, but they haven't yet gotten baptized, then we have not yet fulfilled completely the Great Commission, because the Great Commission includes baptism. And baptism, somebody said it this way, it's an outward expression of an inward reality, okay? Baptism is a couple things. Some have said baptism is a picture, okay? So here's the water, here's you, kind of looks like a cross. It pictures when Jesus died on the cross, and then when you go underneath the water, it pictures when Jesus was buried. When you come back up, it pictures when he came back to life. It's just a picture, and it's you. Typically, when you get baptized, you identifying really with two things. First would be Jesus Christ. You're saying, hey, I profess Christ and I am publicly professing Christ. I want to follow him. And then typically you also identify with a local church. And so that's what baptism is. It's a picture. It's an identity. And then it's also obedience. God said to get baptized. So we need to get baptized as God said to. And if we're going to be like Christ, Christ got baptized. And so we should follow Christ in that. Does that make sense? So if we're going to fulfill the Great Commission fully, we need to teach, share the gospel with the goal of not just seeing somebody saved only, but seeing them saved with the intent of them becoming a disciple, all right? And then we should strive to see that person baptized. And we can teach them those things, what baptism is. And then look at verse 20, and we'll be done here shortly. Verse 20, the Bible says this, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. That teaching is a different Greek word there, but it basically means to teach people, to help people understand all things in the Word of God, to help them become a full disciple of Jesus Christ. There's different ways to do that. You know, the exchange, that is a way to disciple people, to teach people whatsoever whatsoever the Lord has commanded us. It's a pattern, a curriculum. There's other curriculums, other discipleship materials as well out there. There is bringing folks to church, coming to church. That is a way to help people learn things. Christian school, that's a great way to help disciple kids and different things. I had a friend, his name was Logan Snoddy. That's his real last name, Snoddy. Okay, he works at a school. Can you imagine working with seventh graders, being Mr. Snoddy? But anyway, he does it nonetheless. But he had a friend, his name was Juan, and he and his friend Juan would just read the Bible together, like every day. They'd get coffee or they'd just meet up during lunch or whatever, and they'd read the Bible every day. And that's a way. You can just use the Word of God to disciple people, to help people. There's different ways to do that, different means, different modes, whatever word you want to use. But the truth is, we're not fulfilling the Great Commission biblically or fully if we're not discipling folks, if we're not teaching them all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Let me say this. This verse isn't only speaking to pastors. It's not only speaking to Sunday school teachers. It's not only speaking to school teachers. It's speaking to Christians, all of us. God wants you individually, God wants me individually, to not just see folks saved, but to disciple people. So here's the question, are we? I mean, is there somebody in our life that we saw saved, and our goal is not just to see them saved, but see them discipled, to make them a disciple of Jesus Christ? Are we doing that? If not, will we? If not, will we? You know, somebody a lot smarter than me did some math. Anybody like math? Okay, they did some math. No one raised their hand that I saw. Okay, so, oh, she did. I just wasn't looking over there. Okay, good deal. But this is what they said, okay? If you had one person, I don't like using the term soul winner because I think we should be a soul winner, but someone who only soul when they didn't disciple, okay? They didn't disciple. If you had one person that led 1,000 people to the Lord every day, that would be amazing, wouldn't it? 1,000 people to the Lord every day. So in a year, that would be 365,000 people saved. That's a lot, okay? And then you had the discipler who saw one person saved in a year and then discipled them to repeat the process by the end of the year. So in 1 year, the soul winner, okay, who didn't disciple, he saw 365,000 people saved. And the other person, there was just two, including himself, okay? And then the year after that, in 2 years, there would be 730,000 people saved by the soul winner, and then four, okay? Fast forward 10 years, there would be 3,006,000 or 650,000 people saved. And in 10 years with the discipler, there would be 1,024, okay? Fast forward 10 more years. 10 more years to soul winner, didn't disciple, just saw 1,000 people saved a day, which would be amazing, okay? I'm not discrediting that, but he would see 7,300,000 people saved in 20 years. The discipler would see 1,048,000 and some saved and discipled. Fast forward five more years, the soul winner, who saw 1,000 people saved every day, would have seen in 25 years 9,125,000 people saved, and the discipler in 25 years would have seen 33,554,000 and some saved and discipled. We'll go 8 more years, 33 years, okay? 33 years, the person who saw 1,000 people saved, are you with me? In 33 years, the person who saw 1,000 people saved every day would have seen 10,220,000 people saved. Didn't disciple them, just saw 1,000 people saved. That'd be amazing. The discipler would have seen 8 billion, with a B, 8 billion people saved. Well, 8,589,934,000 and some saved and discipled in 33 years. That's a lot. You know, when God said to fulfill the Great Commission, he didn't come up with a plan that wouldn't work. You know, 8 billion is more than the population of the world. That's the entire world. So when God said, hey, I want you to go see folks saved with the intent of them becoming a disciple, if we'll follow God's plan, then we can literally reach the entire world. God didn't come up, I already said this, but God didn't come up with a plan that wouldn't work. What happens many times is our focus isn't right. And our fulfillment is, how. Not that this is bad. We should want to see lots of people saved. We shouldn't de-emphasize evangelism. We should just equally emphasize discipleship. You know, many times, this would be terrible. Okay, you have a baby, just leave it out, you know, to fend for itself. Let's just see if, you know, this baby, that'd be terrible. That'd be child abuse, right? You'd go to jail if you did that. But many times we see folks saved, and we just kind of let them fend for themselves, hope they learn the things for themselves. And we commit, could you say it this way, spiritual child abuse. Yeah. And that sounds really bad when you say it like that, but often we're guilty of it. Now, I wonder, friends, do we have an emphasis in our lives personally to biblically, completely fulfill the Great Commission? Do we? Yes, we need to see folks saved. I'm an evangelist, okay? That's my heart. But God has commanded us not only to see folks saved, but to strive to see folks saved and discipled. And He said this, when you go out, when you strive to fully, to biblically fulfill the Great Commission, you can have total confidence that I'll be with you always and that I have all power. Isn't that encouraging? You know, you think about, man, seeing somebody saved and discipling them to be able to repeat the process, that's a big thing. And you think about, man, am I qualified? Can I do that? Well, yes, you can. Not on your own, but because of God's power. And since He said He's going to always be with you, then let's do it. Let's strive to biblically, to fully, to seriously, to passionately, fully fulfill the Great Commission. This is what we're going to do. I ended early on purpose so that we could do this. I know the church is learning together the exchange curriculum on basically just a way to fulfill the Great Commission fully. And can we do this for invitation tonight? Can we have somebody? Do you have someone to play the piano just so there's some music going? And can we just have, I don't know if this is normal, I don't know if you've ever done this before, but can we just have like a little prayer meeting as families? And maybe you're here by yourself, you can join a family. Can we just have a prayer meeting? Maybe wives, you can pray with your husbands. If you got some teens or kids in here, I don't know where everybody's at. Let me encourage you to just pray together and pray specifically that God would allow you this year to meet someone or someones that you can see saved and then disciple them. Not so much that you can see saved and your pastor disciple them, but that you can see saved and you disciple them. And let's pray. Is it not God's will? Is it not God's will for folks to be saved and disciple? Well, of course it is. God said this. He said, lift up your eyes and look, for the fields are white already unto harvest. If it's true that there's really 6% of people in America that are saved, then man, there's a lot of people that I don't know, maybe I'm a dreamer, okay, but there's a lot of people that potentially can become a disciple of Jesus Christ. And since God has all power over all the power of the enemy, we can have confidence when we strive to tell people about Jesus Christ, to tell people the gospel, and then disciple them. We can have confidence that we can really actually see success in this thing called the Great Commission. So as you play the piano, let me just encourage you, families, maybe look around before you start praying. If there's a single or a young adult or somebody by themselves, maybe you can invite them to join you. But let's just have just a few minutes here where we just pray together. And maybe the prayer would just be, God, would you give me someone? Maybe there's someone on your heart that, man, you've really wanted to see saved for a while. Why don't you just pray together and say, God, would you give us somebody that we could not just see saved, but see saved and become a disciple? Maybe there's somebody that God has used you already to see saved, but you haven't discipled them. Maybe you should pray and say, God, would you help me to disciple this individual? Head bows and eyes are closed. You can move if you need to, go wherever you need to, but let's just spend a few moments in prayer. You're welcome to come to the altar if you want. You can pray at your seat. But let's just spend a few moments, just maybe 2 or 3 minutes in prayer together, and then I'll turn it over to Brother Young. Let's pray together that God would really work in us seeing the full fulfillment, complete fulfillment of the Great Commission in our lives. Father, thank you so much for your goodness to us. Father, thank you for your mercy in our lives and your love to us. And your God, you're so much better to us than we deserve. Father, thank you that what we talked about tonight is your will. You desire to use us. Father, you desire to use us individually. God, you desire for folks to get saved, to become disciples, more than we even have the ability to desire it. And God, you want to use us, I think, if I understand your word right, more than we even have the ability to want to be used. And God, I pray that you'd help us to understand that and respond to that in obedience and in faith and in action, and striving to see folks saved and become disciples of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for the way that you desire to work in our hearts and lives. Father, I pray that literally, I don't know if my wife and I will be back one day, but Lord, I pray that if we do get a comeback, that we would see people at this church, that folks in this room tonight were able to disciple. Father, how amazing would that be? God, that's your desire. We're not asking you to work in a way that you don't already want to work. And God, you want it more than we do. We know that. So, Father, I pray that you'd help us just to take steps of faith, believing that you're going to work. You're going to lead us to the people who want to get saved and want to be discipled. Father, help us, Lord. And God, would you work in our lives, in this specifically, in fulfilling the Great Commission fully, completely, specifically. God, I pray that you'd work in ways where we would say, only God could have done that. It wasn't because of me, only God, only his power. Father, I pray you'd do that. And God, I pray it'd be obvious. And thank you, Lord. Father, thank you just for how I believe you're going to work. And Lord, I pray it'd just be so obvious. Pray it would be a only God thing. And we'll trust you in that. and to help us to be faithful on our part, because we are 100% sure you're faithful on yours. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Let's stand. We're going to dismiss Brother Chase and Rochelle as they're heading over to the children's ministry to kind of get them started here at in a couple of minutes. But let's stand together. And I appreciate that math. That's good math, isn't it? The Lord's math is one of multiplication, not addition. And so I appreciate that truth this evening. So thank you all for being here. And we'll have one just dismissal prayer here. And you continue to pray for our evangelist and family as they continue on their way. And we'll be here. Let's pray together. Lord, we love you. We thank you for the privilege, again, of meeting together here, being focused, Lord, for the focus you've given to our minds and hearts, to your word, to the Great Commission, to the fact that, Lord, you are the instruments, we are the instruments that you've chosen to use in sharing the gospel. And Lord, not only sharing it to lead others to Christ, but sharing it to build lives that they might dedicate their lives completely and wholly to you. And so, Lord, help us be disciplers of others. And, Lord, help us to always do what we do in your power, in your direction, in your strength. And we'll be careful to praise you in Christ's name. Amen.